Continuing the series of chatting to CEOs at sporting clubs around our great city and our great state, and delighted to have the Collingwood CEO, Gary Peart, on the program at 25 minutes to three. Hello, Gary, how are you?
Very good, Andy, yourself?
I know you're a very multi-skilled sports person. I know you're a gun surfer. I know you don't like people knowing that, but can you wield a golf club? Is this part of your repertoire as well?
Well, a couple of months ago, I would have said no, but I've actually had a couple of tips from Mark Allen, so I'm just starting to get there, but still very early stage. He's still got a bit of work to do.
Yeah, he shot 76 today, Marco, so there might be other coaches around the place you might want to be taking yourself towards. Marco's not in the room at the moment, so I can say that, Purdy.
No, he's got a bit of work to do with me. It'll be a challenge for him, so I'm looking forward to our next session.
A bit of work to be done at all AFL clubs, and yours is always one that draws great commentary and obviously great expectation internally and externally from your supporter base. Taylor Adams, who's a terrific young man. I've only met him a couple of times, and I find him, you know, straight and up front, and he's in your face, and I like the cut of his jib. He says that unless we play finals footy this year, it is a 100% failure. Does the CEO of the footy club agree with that?
Oh, look, I think that's right across the board. I've heard Nathan Buckley say that. I would certainly support that. We've been out of the finals for the last couple of years, and that's been disappointing. And our target and expectations is to be back in the finals and becoming a serious threat again. So I think his comments reflect the whole player group.
When you add to the player list the way that you have over the last couple of years, I guess it becomes a fair enough expectation, doesn't it, Gary? I mean, you brought some serious quality into the place, and you know, you probably have every right across the board to expect that, okay, that'll manifest into results and we'll get enough of them and that'll get us into the top half of the table.
Yeah, and as I think it's been well documented, we've made some decisions over the last 2 or 3 years to refresh the list and set ourselves again for another push towards winning another premiership. And, you know, that requires sometimes you have to move some players out and some players in. But I think this year, bringing in a player, you just mentioned Adam Treloar, who's, you know, one of the young stars of the competition. James Aish has shown a lot, but I think he's still got a lot more to offer. And we really want to unlock his potential. And Jeremy Howe, I think, has shown some amazing talent, really exciting player, but probably has played in patches. And we want to get him to a point where he's playing 4 quarter games. If you get that and combine that with our existing combination, it's going to be a pretty solid squad, I think.
And Nathan Buckley was earmarked a long way out to be the man to, you know, to rebuild the list and turn it around and turn it over and take it back to where it was under his predecessor. He's out of contract at the end of 2016. How's he tracking in terms of all of that, Gary?
Well, I think it's important. I know it's talked about in terms of this is what Nathan's doing, but really Nathan's a key part of our list management team that involves myself and board members and Neil Baum and Derek Hine, and we all make those decisions together. And Nathan's played his role in supporting and helping drive that refresh of the list, but then his key role is then to get the best out of that group as we bring these young players in. And over the last couple of years, the amount of first gamers and young talent that's come into the team needs to be combined into a unit. We see all the best teams of modern times have been these just great elite units, and that's where Nathan's taking the group. And I'd like to see that continue to roll out over the next period of time.
There's this fascination in the media, you know about it, and there's conversations taking place about other coaches. We've just seen Justin Lepich given an extension to his contract. Damien Hardwick's the centre of speculation among certain people in the media about his contractual status at Richmond. Are you in conversations with Nathan at the moment? Is that a front of house, front of page agenda item amongst the footy club, the powerful people, important people of the footy club right now, the Buckley contract?
Oh, look, I think the Collingwood supporters would know that we don't engage in a running commentary on this. So, the thing that I would say, I think Nathan's doing a great job. The comments that I read in the paper today and I hear from the player group, they're 100% supportive and behind him and the entire program. You know, when we make a decision on Nathan, we'll roll it out as soon as it's appropriate, and Collingwood supporters know that, but we don't run a commentary on it. You know, I just don't think that's fair to Nathan in the process.
No, don't disagree with any of that. What about from a broader perspective, the capacity for these sorts of conversations at a club, not necessarily yours or any other club that's going through them at the moment, but can they become a distraction? Is that why some clubs or some people in the past and potentially into the future respond and do act, because these things become so big and so kind of overarching that they do become a distraction?
Look, I can't talk on behalf of other clubs. I can say that it is irrelevant to us, and I can honestly say that. Mm-hmm. We do very much see that what is spinning around in media land and media world on a daily basis does just operate out there, and it functions very differently within the club. We have set procedures and process, and it's irrelevant to what is the media commentary at the time. So I can honestly say it has no bearing on us either way, whether it's about talking about particular players or the coaches or what we're doing with our program is very much focused with the people in here. And then we choose the appropriate time of when we want to inform our supporters, and then we roll those announcements out from there. And I think our supporters are pretty used to seeing that it's done in that quite calm and calculated way, and that's what they appreciate.
It's a club that does function pretty smoothly, so whatever you're doing, probably the writing's on the wall for, and the scoreboard's there for everyone to see, irrespective of where you finish on the ladder at the end of particular recent seasons. Does the CEO, Gary, get involved in conversations about the leadership group?
Well, you get involved in the conversations about where the players are at and the whole player group, but really that process is largely left up to the players, and they drive that. So the particular players have to nominate themselves to say, you know, I want to be in the leadership group, and then the player group gets to vote. Now, any time the actual captain of a club needs to be signed off by the board, but certainly in recent times, the sort of quality people that we've had representing us as a captain of the Collingwood Football Club, it's been a bit of a formality. So it's very driven by the players, because this leadership group represents the players and has to, in many ways, set the standards and hold their teammates and their peers accountable. So it's important they come up with the key personalities within that group.
When you say the word standards, I suspect that's on and off the field, at the club and away from the club.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people talk about, you know, Travis Clark. He draws a lot of commentary, and he's not part of the leadership group going forward. How much of that has got to do with, or if at all, any of the recent issues and incidents that he's been surrounded by?
Well, our leadership process and the nomination process was occurring before any of the recent controversies, and Clokey, and so did Goldie, literally put themselves in a position where at this stage of their careers, they're saying, I've played a role, a formal role as part of the leadership group, but now I very much want to concentrate on playing and performing. That being said, senior players like Cloke and Goldsack, who aren't in the formal group, will still play very important roles as leaders within that group. And I think sometimes we underestimate the impact of key players, senior players, players that are helping developing our young players that are coming through. You can do that without formally being in the leadership group and attending all those meetings and carrying the title, if you like.
Yeah, no doubt. But they are seen as sort of, you know, the figurehead individual, not the figurehead individuals within the player group. And there's, you've heard the conversations about why, you know, some of the speculation about why Travis isn't part of that leadership group. Is it, does it, and I know you've already answered the question that the conversations and the meetings were taking place before what happened, but there was no suggestion at all that the club had to intervene here and suggest that maybe it was time for a bit of a change?
No, quite the opposite. Look, those conversations, again, they happen in the newspapers and on the radio stations. They certainly don't happen within the Collingwood Footy Club. And I guarantee you, if you were talking to the player group now, players like Tyson Goldsack and Travis Cloke will continue to be key drivers of our standards and performance and behaviours on and off the field, and are much loved and respected by the player group. So again, it's another one of those examples of it's very different within the club.
Yeah, for sure.
Cloakey is absolutely admired and in many ways has carried the forward line for such a long period of time and has been a key part of developing and nurturing our next lot of forwards coming through. And he does that at training, he does it off the field, he mentors, he supports, and of course his performance on field is exactly the same way. So it's very different within the club to what you read about, and which is why sometimes when you're hearing radio or newspaper commentary that you know is coming from people that have got no connection or no involvement with the club, you know, it can be very misleading, and therefore we just ignore it, basically.
Last one, before we let you go. You're a club that's got a gigantic membership base and it gets bigger every year, and you're trying to seek more members, and it's awesome the support that your football club gets. How difficult is it for the club, once you get these people in, to service them all, to give them what they want and meet their expectations as members of a footy club the size of Collingwood?
Well, you know, we would have the biggest service division of membership in Australian sport because we've got the biggest membership. We really invest in that, and I think that's appropriate because our members are our stakeholders and this club is built around connecting them. But there's far more to it. I mean, there's, apart from the servicing, there's things like today where we announced that we're opening up another 5 houses as part of Magpie Nest.
That's remarkable.
Houses for the homeless. So that's now 30 houses and 150 people that were previously homeless. And in conjunction with the Salvation Army, is we've now taken those people off the street, put them into the houses, and we give them support for alcohol and drug addictions and mental health issues, legal services. All of those things as part of a community club are really important to our members as well. So, yes, we want to service them, but we also want to be the club that they're really proud of. And Magpie Nest, I think, is one of those things that is now become part of our DNA and is really important to our members as well as, you know, how we're performing on the field as well.
And a really important thing, I imagine, for your playing group to have access to and see the sorts of lives that other people lead in the community. It's a fantastic thing that your football club does. You're lucky you're in a position where you can do it, Purdy, but you're also a better club for taking it actually on board and seeing it through. It's a great thing that the Collingwood Footy Club does. Countdown to round one's on. Collingwood fans, make sure you're part of that club. Sign up, be ready to get your Pies into season 2016 in the sort of shape you want them in. Visit membership.collingwoodsc.com.au today. It's going to be fun to watch the Pies during 2016. Gary, we wish you all the very best. Thanks for coming on the show.
Great. Thanks, Andy. It's